This morning's reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. It may be found in the Hebrew Testament on page 1 of your pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of the Lord.
Our New Testament text this morning comes out of Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. This is not just a single church, but a number of different churches, and they were struggling over sort of who was in the church and who was out of the church. And this is part of how the Apostle Paul answers this. In the third chapter, we're starting in verse 23, going to verse 29. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. "Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith could be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian or teacher until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to this disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The word of the Lord. It is probably one of the greatest aspirational statements ever made in a political document. And I'm going to read it, and we'll see how many of you have heard this line before. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." It is an aspirational statement. And what I mean by that is we aspire to reach it. That it is a goal that we have been working for. And I say a goal because if we're honest with ourselves, we've never quite made it. That regardless of how much we try to make this equality a reality, we in this country have never made it. Now, this is not a criticism of the United States, because There is no country on the face of the earth, no organization on the face of the earth, that has yet to achieve this full and complete equality. Now, I realize it may sound like an oxymoron, but if we're honest, we'll acknowledge that some people are more equal than others. Some people are more equal than others because of the families they're born into, or some people are more equal than others because of the schooling that they receive and the schools they get to go to. Some people may be more equal than others because of the color of their skin or because of their gender or their sexual orientation or their abilities or disabilities. We as a society, though we see this as an aspirational statement, you know, we've not quite gotten where everyone is treated equally. And the same is true for the church. Because we as the church have our own aspirational statement about equality. And again, I say it's an aspirational statement because we're working at it, but we still haven't quite got there. And that aspirational statement doesn't just come from this piece of Galatians where Paul says that in Jesus Christ there is no longer slave or free, male or female, Jew or Greek. It actually comes from Genesis 1. Our aspirational statement on equality is at the very beginning of the scriptures. It is hardwired in to our faith. And if you remember, this series on the genesis of our faith are about the things we learn in Genesis that are essential for our faith as followers of God and followers of Jesus. And so this is hardwired in, and it begins with equality of personhood. Listen again. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. And then in verse 27, so God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, they were created. Now let me ask, for those of you who've grown up in the church, how many of you heard this verse 26 this way? Then God said, let us make man in our own image. Have you? Right, okay. All right. The Hebrew word there is Adam. It is genderless. It doesn't mean male or female. It means human being. And so when the Bible, our translation says humankind, then God said, let us make humankind. That's literally what's being said here. And it can be singular, it can be plural, but essentially it says, we're going to make folks. We're going to make folks in our own image. And what this says, and actually one of the coolest things in medieval rabbinic thought, there were a number of rabbinic scholars that took this passage, and they said that this word Adam actually described a human being that had both male and female traits. It was a single person that only later did God divide out between men and women. But that in God's original creation, there was just this single being, this human being. And so that's part of what equality is about in these opening verses. It says that every human being, every single one of us, every person you see on the street or on the news or at work, every human being is equal because we are all part of this humankind made in the image and the likeness of God. And so why this matters for us as followers of Jesus is that this is the way Jesus addressed everyone. It didn't matter to Jesus if you were Jew or Gentile, if you were a man or a woman, if you were young or old. And so the challenge for us is to allow this image of all human beings being the same to help us treat all people, regardless of their age or their language or their nationality or their gender, their sexual orientation, as beloved children of God. That's the equality of personhood. But there's more. There's more. The second is equality of purpose. We all have the same purpose in life. And we're going to continue that verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." I'm not sure I want dominion over creepy things, but... okay, that's our purpose. Our purpose is to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over all living things. Now, here's the issue with that language. That throughout the history of the church, we have taken that language of dominion and we've taken it to mean domination. That to have dominion has meant to be able to dominate the earth, to do whatever we wanted with the earth, with the animals, with the sky, with the sea, with the water, whatever it is, that we're human beings and we have dominion. But the reality of that word, again, if you look at the original context, the reality of that word is not domination, it is caretaking. Because remember, all of this belongs to God. God is the one who owns all of this creation that God has made. We are, this is the way I like to think of it, to have dominion means to be park rangers on the earth. It is to care for the earth and the creatures and the sky and the seas and the waters. That's what dominion is, that we've been entrusted with that caretaking role. And so we have equality because that's been entrusted to all of us. Not just certain people here and there, but all of us have been given that as our purpose in being, to care for this creation. The last piece of equality that's hardwired into Genesis is equality of provision. And this is perhaps the most difficult one for us to wrap our heads around. And this comes beginning in verse 29. And God said, "See, I have given you..." And by the way, remember, "you" here is all human beings, okay? All human beings. "I've given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its root, and you shall have them," you all, y'all, "shall have them for food." This is equality of provision. The goods of the earth do not belong to certain people. They belong to all human beings. And the trouble, we human beings have this wonderful this wonderful ability to say, "Hey, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine if I can take it." Right? Just look back across history, right? This is just kind of the way human beings have always worked. And so distribution of goods has never been equal. And if we just take a glance out at the world, a study several years ago said 16% of the world's population consume 80% of the world's resources. Somehow, not equal distribution. And more recently, all of you all here without masks have been vaccinated, right? And even some of you with masks have probably been vaccinated. Okay, in the state of Michigan, we are now at almost 60%. We're like at 59 point something something. And the United States as a whole, we're pushing towards that 70%. We support a young woman named Faith Kasoni that I've told you about before in Kenya. And I said, hey, got your vaccine? She says, no one's gotten vaccines. They're maybe at 1%. Other nations throughout Africa and Asia are maybe at 1 or 2%. Why? It's because they just don't have them. They don't have them. Equality of provision is intended to be part of who we are, to make sure that all goods are equally shared, equitably shared with the world. I mean, this is right here in Genesis. So the question is, where does this leave us? And I mean us as individuals, but also us as everybody's church. If we have this equality, these three pieces of equality, as an aspirational goal, how are we doing? And what I want to argue is, I think we're doing well. We're not there yet, but we're doing well. That we believe in the equality of personhood. And I want to read to you again. It's in your bulletins, but I just want to read it again. Our inclusion statement that the session adopted multiple years ago. And it goes like this. As everybody's church, we strive to be a faithful, open, and inclusive community. We welcome the full participation of all people of any ability, gender identity, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or any other life circumstance into the life and work and governance of this church. So we strive for equality of personhood in and through the life of this community. In terms of provision, we've been feeding families every week, and I see some of you who come every week and you pick up food to take to families in Pontiac, families that are food challenged, that would go hungry without what we provide. And so we provide for families not just here but around the world through the Loose Change Deacons Fund, through all of the things that we do, because we believe in equality of provision. We're working at it. We're working at it. But the challenge is not to stop. The challenge is to keep aspiring to this hardwired equality that we as followers of Jesus Christ are to demonstrate to the world. And so that is my challenge, that as you come to the table as equals this morning, that you ask yourself this simple question: how am I working towards full equality of all in this world, that we might live into these aspirational ideas that Scripture offers us? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have created every single one of us in your image. Help us to see others in the same way, that they are all our brothers and sisters through you. In Christ's name, amen.